It's time now for the message of God's grace, sponsored by the Devonshire Baptist Church, 6744 Viewway Drive in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Good morning, and thanks so much for joining us on the wonderful grace of Jesus. The radio broadcast of the Devonshire Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I'm Glenn Stevenson, and it's that message that we'd like to bring to you this morning and remind ourselves of God's wonderful grace and how God offers to each one the opportunity of knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so in the next few minutes, before we look at God's Word together, I'd like to share a song with you entitled "Only One Life to Offer," sung by Roland Stabley, and at the organ is his wife Janice. How important for us to remind ourselves that God wants us to give our lives in service to Him.
Only one life to offer, Jesus my Lord and King. Only one tongue to praise Thee, and of Thy mercy sing forever. Only one heart's devotion, Savior, oh may consecrated alone to Thy matchless glory, yielded fully to Thee. Only this hour is mine, Lord, may it be used for Thee. May every passing moment count for eternity, my Savior. Souls all about are dying, dying in sin and shame. Help me bring them the message of Calvary's redemption in Thy glorious name. Only one life to offer, take it, dear Lord, I pray. Nothing from Thee withholding, Thy will I now obey. Thou who hast freely given Thine all in all for me, claim this life for Thine own, to be used, my Savior, every moment for Thee.
Amen. It's so important to remind ourselves that we only have one life to offer. Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is Pastor Glenn Stevenson, and I would like to remind you about the ministry of Devonshire Baptist Church. We're located here in Charlotte at 6744 Viewway Drive. That's right near the intersection of Harris Boulevard and Plaza Road, just about a block away from Devonshire Elementary School. And we count it a privilege to have you come and to visit with us. Tomorrow we have our regular services. Our Sunday school is at 9:45, and our morning service is at 11 o'clock. We also have an evening service at 6:30 p.m. every Sunday night. And again, you are invited to come. We'd love to have you, and we're looking forward to a great day tomorrow. We also have a Wednesday night service every week at Devonshire Baptist Church, and it's at 6:30 p.m. It's a time of prayer and Bible study, and we invite you to come and to be a part of our services. If you're not familiar with the ministry of Devonshire Baptist Church, it's fundamental. We believe the Bible and stand by it. We desire to follow the Word of God. It's our rule for faith and practice. We're also gospel preaching. The Bible shares with us that man will spend eternity in one of two places, either heaven or hell. And God loved us so much that He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to die on the cross for our sins so that we may have eternal life. Our desire is to give out the gospel of Jesus Christ that people may know that they too face eternity and that the only way that they can have eternal life in heaven is through Christ. And without Him, they'll face an eternity in hell. Finally, we're missionary-minded. We help send out missionaries around the world to preach the gospel that others may know that they can have eternal life as well, and that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Before we look at God's Word today, I'd like to share with you one of the most beloved hymns. It describes what Christ did in paying the price for our sin and shedding His blood to provide the way of salvation, so that through faith and trust in Christ as our personal Savior, we can have eternal life. Please listen now as my family and I sing The Old Rugged Cross.
Oh, no.
This morning, I'd like to turn your attention to Psalm 127 and the thought of building the right kind of home. The Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. When we think about the word home, what comes to your mind? Is it I involve coming in the door and just smelling something really good cooking? Does it go back to a childhood point when things were of a simpler nature? Didn't have to worry about working, didn't have to worry about fixing the house or the economy or the politics. Maybe the biggest thing you had to be concerned about was what time I had to go to bed and what am I going to play today. But the Bible talks here about building a house. He's not talking about the home that we live in. Now, again, if we were thinking about the home, maybe our thoughts might be different if we're just thinking about the house proper. I think about how the interior decorator did such a great job, or the carpenter. Boy, he was just perfect in all of the miter joints he did and the wood creations that he made and the crown moldings and the banisters, whatever you might think of in a home. You know, more important is those that came in and did the foundation. Those that came in and did the rough carpentry where they're putting down the joists, floor plates, walls, rafters, all those pieces that are inherent and is so important in the house. If that's not right, the house isn't going to last. It would involve the right kind of building materials. Those things would go into a house, but again, what about our house, our home, our lives? Whether it's just you, or whether it's you and your spouse, or whether it's you and you still have children in the home or children on the way, what's in your home? Are you building it in such a nature that it's going to last and stand the test of time? It's going to stand the troubles and difficulties that are going to come. It's sad to see that homes today are places of turmoil. It'd be a bad situation where you go home and you're dreading it rather than looking forward to it. I like to look forward to it. I like to come home and to be with my wife and visit with her, spend time with her. That's enjoyable to me. But it would be terrible to say, I don't want to go home. I don't want to spend time with the person that's in or people in my home. But you know, building a home, it goes beyond that even further. If we're thinking about children, what are their lives going to be like? What is our goal for them? Is it to get a good job and get out of the house or be able to supply for themselves? Is it to be successful in their job? Or more importantly, is it for them to be happy and at peace and right with God? If we're going to build a home, we're going to have to function more than just thinking of the repairs and the improvements that we can make on the physical structure. And it's going to be more than just getting the best meal on the table and having the right kind of vacation and spending time together. This morning I share with you simply four essential building materials in a home, that if you don't have these, it won't be the best home that it can be. The first building material, just like we would go to the hardware store, we'd go to the lumber company and we'd purchase things for our home and say, I've got to have this. This is essential. Salvation is essential. Somebody made the statement that you can't take anything with you to heaven except the souls that you've led to the Lord. You first need to know Christ as your Savior, and then the focus needs to see the people in your home, whether it's a sibling, your parents, your children, your spouse, whoever it may be, first for you to be right with the Lord, and then for them to be right with the Lord. We're going to spend somewhere forever, either heaven or hell. And what a grief it would be to think that I would be spending eternity in heaven and my family not there. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Paul is talking about what's coming in the future. He doesn't want these folks to be ignorant, both concerning those who have already passed away. In this passage, he uses the term asleep. But he's talking not about them sleeping like at night in the bed, but he's talking about they've passed away. But you and I don't have to sorrow if you know Christ your Savior, as others which have no hope. How sad it would be to think of someone living and dying and going to an eternal hell. What's the key? For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. You remember from Romans chapter 10, what it says in verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's important not just to assent there's a God. That's not going to help you. It's nice if you can go to church. That's important. Live a good life. That's important. But that's not going to take you to heaven. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What was that treasure? That light of the knowledge of the glory of God in face of Jesus Christ. It was God had made a change in him. Paul talks about his future hope, he says in Philippians chapter 1, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul was looking at the future not with fear, but when I go to heaven, to die is gain. I'm looking forward to it, he's telling us. You know, the blessing of this essential building material of salvation in the home, first, it's free. Jesus Christ already paid the price for it. You don't have to go out and buy it. You don't have to work for it. It's free. It's necessary. Without knowing Christ our Savior, we can't have eternity in heaven, and we'll face eternity in hell. And when a person trusts Christ in their heart and life, they have the promise of his abiding presence. The book of John talks about the Lord's presence and that we're in his hand. And he said, no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. He tells us as well, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a promise of God, that I have eternal life, that essential building material, that I know that no matter what happens to me, I'm on my way to heaven. And how important to know that as well for our children, for our families. You can't get saved for them, but they need to come to Christ and trust Christ as their personal Savior that they can go to heaven. All you can do, whoever the family member is be right yourself before God and then try to get them the strongest spiritual influences you can. One of those pieces is our second building material, is the attendance to the Word of God. My friend, probably most folks have a Bible in their house. Some have multitudes of Bibles in their houses. But do we ever spend time reading it? Do we ever spend time studying it and letting it apply to our life? You see, an essential building material in our homes, not just salvation, but the attendance to the Bible. I remember years ago, my pastor made this statement. He said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Now, that wasn't a verse of scripture, but it was a reminder that if we spend time in the Word of God, God can protect us and he can give us strength through his Word. John 5:39 says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You need to read it. He said, I'm just not a reader. You know, I didn't read good in school, or I just don't enjoy it. My friend, you start getting into the Word of God, reading it, God will help you. And those things that you read, God's Word does not return void. It's much different than any manual you're going to have to read for work, or any book you're going to have to study for a class. But you read the Word of God, and God will bless it in your life. Joshua was promised, and he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God has given us his word, and if we don't spend time in it, we're not going to learn. We're not going to know what his desire is. Studying it. Bible tells in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, how we need to focus in on not just reading it, but then studying it, learning it. We need to set it as a guide for our home. If you and I set the Bible as our guide for the home, letting it decide whether something is right or wrong, it'll help us. It'll protect us from sin. Psalm 119 says in verse 9, wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, and let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I may not sin against thee. Saying, if I want to do what's right, I'm going to have to put the word of God as my focus. I'm going to have to let it cleanse my mind, wash my mind. God wants to protect your home. You can get the video cameras. You can get a service. The greatest protection you can have is the protection of God and his word. Knowing Christ is your Savior, and then letting the Bible be your rule for faith and practice in the home. My kids want to do something. I want to do something. I look to the Bible. Is this right or wrong? It will guide our steps. Psalm 119, verse 105, familiar portion of Scripture says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It will guide us. It will show us what we're supposed to do, as well as it gives me purpose for life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding, we find in Proverbs 3. It continues, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." What's your purpose in life? I'm going to make money. I'm going to get a great income and have a great retirement, and I'm going to just enjoy life. Okay, what about the future? Well, I've got a 401k. I've got some investments. Boy, I'm going to get a good return. I'm not talking about now. What about the future? Are you prepared for heaven? A fellow told me the other day, "I'm saved, but you know, he's not living like it. He's not in church, not serving God. Something's wrong. It's not his purpose of life." If the Bible and serving God does not become your purpose of life, and the most important thing, it doesn't mean you quit your job, it doesn't mean you spend 7:24 at church, but God needs to be the focus that we look to him to guide and direct us. So here's two essential building materials. It's first salvation, and then attendance, the Word of God. Third is faithfulness in church. The Bible reminds us from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." You know, it's a blessing to hear a church service by radio or to watch it on television, but you know, that's not a substitute for being in church. Those options and those abilities are great for those who are shut in and can't get out to church. But for each one that is able to get out to church, we don't need to look for a substitute for the local church. We need to be in church, in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that preaches the truth of the Word of God, not man's opinion. It's where we hear the Word of God proclaimed. Listen to this passage, if you would, from 1 Corinthians 1. Paul says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God." That word foolishness gives us the idea of that which is silly, that which is absurd. To the unsaved person, being in church, that's silly. Why spend your time? Why waste your time? To the child of God, that's where they're going to want to be. They're going to want to be around God's people. They're going to want to hear God's word. They recognize its value for life. In contemporary mode of religion today, though, preaching is minimized, entertainment is emphasized, worldliness is glorified, and God is not glorified. It's an unbiblical view of what genuine worship is, in that it has become often man-centered. It seems that as there's been a move away from the example of the church at Berea, Acts chapter 17 gives us the example of the church at Berea when it says, "They that received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so." The focus has become on what is convenient and how fast we can expedite a church service, rather than looking to the God of heaven to speak to us from his word and by his spirit, so we can be more of what he wants us to be. And you think that those in the home also see what's important to us. If church or Bible study and Bible reading has just become punching a time clock, just clearing it off our list of obligations or our to-do list, something's wrong. And they're going to see that. I grew up in a home where the Bible was central, and I watched my dad and mom, who wanted to see me in church, who set an example of reading the Bible, spending time on the Word of God, not to be seen by us kids. But they did it was because it was part of their life. And then as part of their life, it structured my life to see the importance. And I am so thankful that God put me in a home, that the essential building materials were in place. The Bible gives us an illustration of a home that had that heart desire. He says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You think about the word addiction. You think, boy, that doesn't come across right, to be addicted to something. You can be addicted to good things. In fact, the old Webster's Dictionary makes this contrast between the two types of addiction. One is to apply one's self habitually, to devote time and attention by customary or constant practice. In other words, focusing on that which is good, but there's the opposite, to be addicted, to devote by habitually practicing that which is ill, that which a man is addicted to, whether it be intemperance, in other words, no self-control, whether it's to his substance that he's taking into his body, or maybe the habits that he has formed. Those aren't good addictions. But God wants you and I to be addicted to his word. And then fourthly, setting a godly example. What are my children going to be interested in? Or what are my children going to see from me? They're going to see a set of values, right or wrong, but they're going to see a set of values of what's important to me. What is essential in my life? One of the greatest failures that can occur in a Christian home is where the word of God is claimed to be followed, yet our own will is the driving force. Our families can see the inconsistencies and excuses for not following the Word of God, and they've learned to disregard its truth. In fact, for many years, I was a youth pastor, and I would see sometimes moms and dads getting upset at their kids for following God. And the reason, I believe, is because it made them look bad, and they didn't want to look bad, and so they would try to diminish that child's excitement and looking forward to being in church and being active in church. And if they get that child to slow up a little bit on that energy and on that interest, they would feel better about themselves, as far as the parent. The Bible is not a self-help book to pick and to choose what idea we think will help us the best. But it must be taken in its entirety. Quote, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, unquote. Here we are. Set the Bible as the focus, and then be an example that's the focus. We need to be an example in our word, what we say. If we're cursing and swearing, kids are going to pick up on that. They recognize that that's kind of language comes out of somebody who doesn't know Christ. If we're always criticizing the preacher or always criticizing the things of God, how can we expect them to do what's right and have that as their heart's goal? My friend, God wants you to have a good home. He wants you to have a joyful home, a happy home. But we're going to have to follow his plan if that's going to happen. If your home is not right, if you're not right with Christ, you know you can allow God to change that for you today. First come to Christ and then follow his word. If we can be of any help, again, my name's Glenn Stevenson with Devonshire Baptist Church here in Charlotte, and we would love to be of any help that we can to be an encouragement to you in your spiritual walk with the Lord, and most of all in coming to know Christ as your personal Savior. I trust you have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
For the past half hour, you have been listening to The Wonderful Grace of Jesus with Pastor Glenn Stevenson of the Devonshire Baptist Church. Listen again next week at this same time on WHVN.